Evening, church. I want to just start off before we pray, just by reading from John chapter 1. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son, Jesus Christ, from the Father, full of grace and truth." Come, let's just pray before we just get into the Word. Jesus, we just come before You this evening, and we just acknowledge that You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We just acknowledge that You're from the beginning and You're to the end. You are the Alpha and the Omega. You're from everlasting to everlasting. We acknowledge this evening that all life holds together in You. And Jesus, I say tonight, Jesus, my prayer is that if nothing else, may much be made of Your name. May everything, every word that is from me fall to the ground, but may Your name, Jesus, be lifted high. Because we just declare tonight that the power is not in man, but in the cross of Jesus Christ. And we just say, Jesus, come and have Your way amongst us. Jesus, come and put Your finger on hearts tonight. Jesus, come and heal. Jesus, come and set free. Jesus, come and save. We say, Jesus, tonight is all about You and about Your name. Amen. I remember when I first came to Christ, all I really had was the Word. And we heard earlier on that the Word is Christ. The Word is Jesus. And Jesus is the most precious person. I feel strange saying person because He's God. We just don't have the English words. And that's why I brought my big Bible tonight. All right, because just to show how important His Word is and just how precious He is. And I remember it was many years ago. It was in around 2004, and I didn't have any worship CDs. I didn't have any Christian books. All I had was a Bible, and it wasn't even a fancy one with commentary and all sorts of things. It was really just a standard Bible. But that was the most precious thing I had, and that's where I learned to know Jesus, was from the Bible, because He is the Word. And I just find it quite amazing how over the years, you know, we get the worship CDs and we get the books, and somehow we get a bit to a point where we forget that it all started with Jesus. The power to save us was in Jesus, and that's why tonight I want to talk just about Jesus. Thanks, Lizanne, for the awesome graphic. She's amazing, amazing artist, and she really just gives so much of her time for the kingdom. There is no gospel without Jesus. Jesus is the gospel. The power is in His name. Okay? And that's why I love what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He says, "And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." In Galatians, he also says, "But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." I was thinking earlier on while we were worshiping, if Jesus does not come and touch your heart and your life tonight, then I am nothing but a professional speaker. Then you can might as well be at a seminar or at a TED talk, actually. Then you're not at church. Church is the bride of Christ, and Christ is the head of the church. And if we are the church, we are to make much of the name of Jesus. Okay, I remember the only reason why I am today, I tried many things. You know, I used to hang out on Sunday afternoons, not in church, but in the self-help section of Exclusive Books, my Seattle coffee, and I was searching. I needed answers for this life. Where am I going? Why am I in the mess? How do I get out of this mess? How do I change? I don't like this prison that I'm in, but how do I change it? But nothing worked. But there was this one day where I was at an Encounter One, and we've got one coming up next week, Wednesday, right here. I think it was next week, Wednesday. I wasn't concentrating in announcements. Next week, Wednesday. And there someone revealed to me Jesus in the scriptures. And that day, Jesus stepped in. I said to him, I allowed him, I opened up the door so that he could step in. He was there all along. I just wasn't opening the door. And that day changed everything. In fact, every significant, eternally life-changing moment of my life involves Jesus. Every significant moment that I've witnessed, which is really worth, it's at the top of the list, just sharing life with others, involves Jesus. Every significant change inside of me, every healing, every freedom, every joy, every peace, is Jesus. It's none of me. All right? It's none of me. I remember there was a time when it was just going so rough, and I remember I did not know what to pray anymore. And I remember standing in the bathroom and literally banging my head against the tiles, and all I could say was Jesus, 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 Jesus. And he stepped in. He changed things. He changes things. Jesus changed. And not the Jesus that we read in storybooks, the Jesus that we see in the Bible. See, this Jesus in the Bible is not a story from long ago, all right? The word holds true yesterday, today, and tomorrow. This Jesus that you read about in the Bible is the same Jesus right now, who's in this room, who's amongst us, okay? He's the same Jesus who's going to be there tomorrow when you wake up. He's the same Jesus who's going to be in your class, in your workplace tomorrow. He does not change, and he hasn't changed from what it says about him in the Word, okay? But we so easily forget that. And I was so challenged. You know, last year I'm in Port Elizabeth at my parents' house, and PE is in way worse a drought state than Cape Town. And we have this day where finally it rains, and I'm like, okay, that's cool. My mother is dancing around the house, shouting, "Thank you, Jesus! Thank you, Jesus! Thank you, Jesus!" And I'm like, oh. My hat. This lady, my mother, she doesn't have the Bible school I have. She doesn't read all the books I have. She doesn't preach. She knows Jesus. And I was like, where have I come to? And I woke up at the start of this year, and I was off the whole long thing last year, which I'll share a bit later. And I was like, sitting in my bed, I was like, Jesus, who are you? Who are you? And that's why I've just begun to embark on just spending time at the cross where it all changed for the first time. Just meditating on the cross. Spending time just meditating on who Jesus is in the scriptures. And he's challenged me. He's like, Kathleen, you see all this stuff around you and you say Jesus is the answer. And you say Jesus is all we need. But do you really believe the Jesus that you see in the scriptures? Do you really believe what you see Jesus doing in the scriptures? He can come and do in South Africa. He can come and do in your family. And he challenged me on that. And it was amazing. I actually, you know, I began to pray that my dad hasn't been well and physically, but also he's quite old and his mind started to go a bit. And it was very challenging in the holidays. I could just see how he's just more and more in a bit of a prison because his memory wasn't well, and he was always very confused. And I was like, no, I see in the scriptures Jesus taking a madman and putting him back in his right mind. I see in the scriptures Jesus opening up prison doors. So I said, Jesus, like you stepped into this man's life. We're going to read about him now. I said, you step into my dad's life and you come and do what you did here. So I believe in this Jesus. Amen. You know, the next day my mom WhatsApps, she says, oh, dad's as bright as a button. You know, and there's just been so much breakthrough since then. And I'm just learning. I was having some incredible challenges. I coach sport and work with a lot of youngsters. And I don't know. I didn't know what to pray anymore. And I said, Jesus, all I can ask is that you step onto the field. Every day that I coach, Jesus, and I go out there, you step on the field ahead of me. Because I know if Jesus keeps stepping on the field ahead of me, I'm going to begin to see changes in those young people's lives. Because I can't do it. But the Jesus in the Bible, this Jesus, he can do it. And Josh, I don't even know if we're going to get through all of Jesus. There's just so much in this one chapter. I love this quote from John Piper. He, if you listen to his sermons, all he talks about is Jesus. I love it. He says, saturate your soul with the ways of Jesus. Watch him. Listen to him. Stand in awe of him. Let him overwhelm you with the way he is. How often do we read the scriptures, but we just read words? How often when you read the scriptures, do you watch Jesus? Do you listen to what he's saying to people? How he's interacting with them? How often you read the scriptures and stand in awe of who Jesus is? How often you just stop in the day and just like wonder? There's a song, may I never lose my wonder at who Jesus is. And actually recognize that he's just stepped ahead of you. And he's just brought some changes. So we're going to go through Mark chapter 5 very briefly. But I want to, because we don't have too much time. If we had, you know, I would love to just in detail go bit by bit, verse by verse through Mark chapter 5. But I'm just going to highlight a few things, and I want to challenge you to go on your own and go and say, Jesus, I want to see you in this chapter. There's just so much. There's a sermon series till next year. Okay. And I love what Megan shared about the person. Oh, the Lord is so faithful in the prison. And now it's, Christ comes, is the one who can come to really break it open. And in Mark, those if you're one of those people that responded, Mark chapter 5, we see three of probably the most hopeless cases that you could see in one chapter. Okay? And I want to just highlight one or two things within each of these stories. Okay, so I've said Jesus crosses over to the other side, Mark 5. Okay, one thing, the first thing I learned when going through this is that Jesus does not choose sides. Because wherever we're going in the Bible, he's crossing over the side. And then Jesus and his disciples got in the boat and they went over to the other side. And again, Jesus crossed over to the other side. It's amazing. This man, he was just up and down. But it's just such a picture of Jesus' heart. Because Jesus isn't like, I mean, he'd be finished talking to crowds, and then he crosses over to the other side, and he's just delivered a man. He crosses over, and he's like, but there's a need on the other side. I want to be there. Now, okay, there's a need on this side now. I want to be there. Jesus, I said earlier, I opened the door for Jesus to come in, but Jesus was standing there knocking all the time. And that's because Jesus is on the other side all the time where the need is. He's looking to come and bring deliverance, to bring healing, to bring freedom in your family, in your life, in your colleagues, in this nation. We just need to believe that he wants to do it. And he has no problem crossing to the other side. He owns all the boats in the world. Okay? And his petrol's free. All right. So let's look at the first story, the story of the demon-possessed man. So it says Jesus crosses over to the other side, and he found a man who had been living amongst the tombs. It says no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. We had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart and he broke the shackles in pieces. This is hectic. No one had the strength to subdue him night and day among the tombs and on the mountains. He was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him and crying out with a loud voice, he said, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" And these were the demonic spirits within him who recognized Jesus. "I adjure you by God, do not torment me." For Jesus was saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And we see Jesus interacting, and we realize there was a whole legion of demons in this man. I mean, this is one of the worst case scenarios. And Jesus delivers the man, drives the demons out, sends them into the pigs. And now we come to the part of the story, which to me is just, it's just so beautiful. The herdsmen fled and told it in the city, in the country, and people came to see what it was that had happened. And they came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had had the legion. Now watch this. Sitting there, clothed and in his right mind. How beautiful is that? You know what's so beautiful about this? The man was clothed. Jesus comes and he covers up our nakedness and he removes all our shame. I often wonder, where did he get the clothes? There's no Jet or Edgar's. I boggle. Guys, you must boggle about the Bible, okay? This book is fun. Right, I was saying to the guys earlier on, my favorite thing is in the Old Testament where God makes shade grow over man and then sends a worm because he was moaning to chew it up. I mean, that is so naughty. Okay? But he's clothed. But you see, God comes and we're not just talking about a physical clothing here. He actually comes to cover up our shame. It says in the Garden of Eden before the fall, Adam and Eve were naked and not ashamed. See, they were covered by the glory of God, but that fell away because of the fall. But when we come to Christ, because of the cross, glory can come back. We can have that relationship, and the shame is covered. All right, so many times, we're afraid to come to Christ, to receive our healing, to receive our deliverance, to receive our salvation, because we say people are going to see, people are going to know. We're afraid to come and repent, because people are going to know. But that shame is not from the Lord. Adam and Eve were naked and not ashamed. The shame is from the enemy, and it's there to keep you from coming and receiving your healing and deliverance. But I want to say to you, come. Jesus will cover it. Okay? It says in Psalms 103, it says, "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us." That's why Jesus died. He didn't die so that we can live in shame. He died so that we can repent, that we can be forgiven, and that we can live free from shame. Right, and the other incredible thing that he does that is with the clothing is he gives the man an identity. Clothing was very important in terms of identity in the times of the Bible. And I think it is today as well. Okay, we look at what people wear. All right, we rich people wear Levi, the poor people wear pick and pay clothing. All right, certain in boys' schools, your blazer carries quite a lot of, you know, you want to see what school you're from, it identifies you. Okay, some families even have family crests. The Springboks, I mean, when you become a Springbok or a Protea, you receive a special badge that you can sew onto a blazer to indicate that you represented South Africa. Okay, there's identity attached into clothing. And there's this beautiful picture in Luke of the prodigal son. Ooh, what is a son? A son. He returns to his father after being with the pigs and wasting his inheritance. And the first thing his father says to his servants is, "Put the best robe on him and a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet." What is he doing there? what the father, what that best robe actually refers to the first robe, the former robe, the original robe that he had as the son. And what the Lord is, not the Lord, his father, but we can see this, what the Lord does with us is he was publicly re-establishing his identity as a son. He put shoes on his feet. You know how significant that is? Slaves did not wear shoes. Sons wore shoes. And when we come to Christ, it says amazing stuff. In Galatians, it says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons and daughters. Okay, read both. And because you are sons, God has sent the spirit of his son, Jesus, into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you're no longer a slave, Matthew sang it, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. There's a lot going on here. All right, when we come to Christ, we become his. There was a point, the more I reflect on Jesus and what he's done, the more all I can say is, I am yours and you are mine. I am yours and you are mine because I am his. I'm his daughter. But something I just want to say here, it's so important that we understand whose daughter we are, whose son we are. Okay, we're not a daughter or son of just anyone. We're a daughter, a son of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the God who reigns for eternity. Sometimes I think we become sons and daughters, but we still think we kind of like the black sheep of the family. Or we call it the runt of the litter or the Cinderella. No, but we're the daughter of the king, each one of us. There was a time in my life where God challenged me on this. I was working in a domain with someone who was very famous, and I was just myself. And I was like, I can't go where they're going or do what they're doing because I don't have these achievements to my name. You know what he did? He woke me up in the middle of the night, and it's probably one of the most beautiful, another one of my just absolute life-defining moments. He woke me up. He's like, Kathleen. And I was like, that's weird. Went back to sleep, and it was cool. It was just like in the book of Samuel. So exciting. What is Samuel? It was called. Okay, and then so I thought, okay, I'll be like Samuel. I'll like wait, and then he does it a few times. So then he says again, Kathleen. And then eventually I'm like, okay, Samuel did three times. Kathleen. He's like, yes, Lord. I was like, this is so cool. It's audible voice. I'm lying in my bed. You know what he says to me? He says to me, Kathleen, who are you? I'm like, Kathleen. Course, you know, you got the, you know who I am. He's like, Kathleen, who are you? I'm like, Kathleen. He said, no, Kathleen, who are you? I'm your daughter. Says to me, who am I? I'm like, you're God, you're the king. So he says to me, so if I'm king and you're my daughter, what does that make you? I said, that makes me a princess of the king. And not just any princess, the top dog princess, because you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We need to know who we are in Christ.
Amen.
Let's look at the next story. The woman of the flow of blood. And there's so much more. Go read more. Jesus crosses over. It says here. And when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, I love it, a crowd had gathered about him. Now, I want you to see what's happening here. This story is happening in the middle of a much more dramatic story, okay? A ruler of the synagogue comes to Jesus and says, my daughter is not well. Will you come and heal her? And Jesus says, yes, and he starts going. But then crowds gather around him, and a woman who's had a flow of blood for many years, okay, no physicians could help her, comes up to him, and she's trying to get to him to touch him so that she may be healed. And we'll look a bit more at that now, and Jesus stops and he interacts with her. But Jesus is on his way somewhere, but it's not a problem. Okay? Jesus is not too busy. There are not too many crowds around Jesus that we can't get to Jesus. Okay? Jesus is looking at each one of you, and he knows your needs. And he's like, if only they would reach out and touch my garment. If only they would press through the crowds and touch my garment. Press through that shame. Press through that fear. Press through those lies and touch my garment because I want to heal them. It was very significant that the woman touched his garment. In Jewish law, because she of the flow of blood, she was actually considered ceremonially unclean. She wasn't even meant to be in the crowd. So she was already very brave to actually go out. Plus, I want you to see the boldness of this woman, okay? For her to touch Jesus would render Jesus ceremonially unclean. This woman had boldness, but it's not a problem for Jesus. You know, sometimes all we need is a little boldness. Okay, Jesus wants to heal us. You know why? It was not a problem for Jesus. Because Jesus fulfilled the law. It was shared in the offering. He already fulfilled the law. Let me get to my scripture. Romans chapter 8. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free. Edit that chona out. Has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. We walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. It says Jesus came not to call the righteous, but sinners. Jesus fulfilled all the law on the cross. So why? It was shared. We cannot on our own save ourselves. We can try to be good people. Okay, we can try to be set free from the sin that keeps us trapped. We can try to fulfill all the laws of God, but we cannot. Only Christ can, and he already did on the cross. And that's why we can come to him. And then he heals us, he saves us, and he sets us free. So we need to stop trying to first fix ourselves, first clean ourselves up. We just need to come with boldness like this woman did. Jesus did not turn her away. In fact, Jesus turns to her. He looks for her. Okay, and I think this is such a beautiful picture of what actually happened on the cross. This exchange of the life of Christ for our life. The righteousness of Christ for our sinfulness. Okay? Charles Spurgeon says, he's hardcore. If you want like hardcore quotes, just go Google Charles Spurgeon quotes. Listen, you'll be freaked out. You'll be like on the floor repenting in no time. I love it. It's like, gives me my shake up. The heart of the gospel is redemption. And the essence of redemption is the substitutionary sacrifice of Christ. I said it this morning and I'll say it again. If I do not make much of the cross and the exchange of life that happened there, Christ's for mine, then I'm sharing nothing more than self-help. We cannot save ourselves. When last did you actually spend time at the cross meditating on this? I want to challenge you. This is the year of challenge. I want to challenge you to spend time there actually realizing what actually happened there. Someone died. God died. No other God does that. Okay? No other God does that. Other gods give you rules and ways to have a better life and maybe have a second life or a third life or a peace. But no other God gives his own life. While we were still sinners, we didn't even follow any paths so that we can have life, okay? This is Christ. This is the Jesus that we read about in the Bible. That's what I say. That's why I sat on my bed that morning. I'm like, Jesus, who are you? I don't know you, okay? Jesus desires a personal relationship with us. I just love the way he seeks out the woman and he speaks with her. And I just want to he highlights something here. It says, daughter, your faith has made you well. Not a works of faith. Okay? She feared him. She repented. She believed he was the Messiah. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. What I want you to see here, before we move on to the next story, is he said, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed. There's another wellness that happened before her disease was healed. It was a wellness of the spirit and the soul. Jesus saved her. Yes, Jesus wants to heal us physically. But you know, the biggest death that we have, the biggest suffering that we have, is not our physical ailments. It's our separation from God. And it's living life without the peace of Christ inside of us, without the, which we prayed about it earlier, the joy of the Lord inside of us, without knowing that we have eternal salvation with Christ, without having been set free from our prison. Sin, it's not about being good or being bad. Okay, sin makes us sick. Sin destroys us on the inside, and but we don't always know it. There's a death inside of us that Christ wants to turn into life. And it happens at the cross, and at the cross only. Okay, it says in Isaiah, Jesus came to set the captives free, to give us beautiful ashes, to open up the prison doors to those who are bound. That is who Jesus is. He came as a physician, not for those who are well, but for sinners. And I want you to see Jesus' heart here. He's not coming to say you're a bad, he doesn't want to say you're a bad person, but he's a righteous God and he has to judge sin, which he did on the cross. He wants to make you well. He wants you to have life. It says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it in abundance. That's why Jesus came. I had a lot in this world before I gave my life to Christ. I have much less in this world, but I have so much more. So much more life. I was dead. I had material stuff, but I was dead. Okay. Last one, last story. Eventually, Jesus moves on to the ruler's daughter. And he arrives there. It says, while he was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house some who said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? Okay, I mean, we've gone from bad to worse here. Okay, we've now got a dead person. Jesus is not fazed. Nowhere do we read there that Jesus is panicking, freaking out. He doesn't go home, back to the other side. He stays on the side this time. Jesus is never too late. Jesus is never too late. He steps in. Puts the crowds outside because there were all these hired mourners and they were just making a lot of noise. Jesus isn't about a lot of noise. Jesus is about the heart. And he goes in, takes the hand of the little girl, says to a little girl, I say to you, arise. And the little girl gets up and walks. Because when Jesus steps into the room, he brings life. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He says, I am the bread of life. Life is in Christ. Christ alone. But we need to believe it. I love what he says. Jesus, when something significant happens, he always says, do, or someone, an angel or someone says, or Jesus says, or God says, do not fear. Why? Because fear is the opposite of faith. He says, believe, believe, believe. This is not too hard for him. Woman's dead. Life. And I just want to quickly share just such an amazing journey that I went on last year. I started the year as always, asking the Lord for a word for the year to hold on to. And he gave me a blank page, a white page, like this. Just white. I was like, oh, my word. Lord, come on. You've got to be kidding me. And then I thought, well, maybe it means this or maybe it means that. And I'm praying about it. And the Lord just keeps a blank page. I was like, okay, Lord, so you're going to paint a picture on the page now. Nope. Stays a blank white page. And I try to interpret eventually to accept it's a blank white page. That's my word for the year, a blank white page. And it didn't make sense at the time, but as the year wore on, I started to see how God was stripping away everything. I thought I won't cry again this evening if I've cried in the morning, but we saw me do it again, it's okay. There's enough Kleenex over here. They refilled. He was stripping away everything that stood between me and Jesus. She said to me, Kathleen, you say Jesus is enough, but look at this, all the stuff that's in between. You say that you're okay, just us, spending time, just us. But look at all, look where you run to there. And then this one calls and you run to there. Yeah, it's not. He stripped away and he stripped away and he stripped away. He brought failures, which I'm so glad for, so glad. Because in that failure, I realized, I discovered idols. I discovered things that were between me and Christ, and that Christ was not enough. It was just words. It was just empty words. And he stripped away, and he stripped away, and he stripped away. And it was, I was watching people that I was spending a lot of time with, going on interesting weekends, and going out to these dinners, and these parties, and I was beginning to desire that, and to covet that. And I began to question my time that I spend here and that I give here. Sure, much honest repentance going on here. But there's no shame. Okay. And I was looking to these things and I was like, I questioned where my life was, where life was found. I began to question it. And I went on this journey, and one day I'm sitting here on this little platform. You're busy with an encounter four, and I'm watching Jesus set people free. He's moving because Jesus is the one who delivers. We can't deliver ourselves. And I'm watching this. And I'm just watching this. And Jesus comes to speak to me, and he says, Kathleen, look, this is where life is. And I'm said, yes, Lord, you're right. This is where life is. It's a Saturday. It's dark in here. There's not much air. But I'm watching Jesus cross over the room and set people free, and that's life. Life is in Christ. And he began to actually redeem. And he beautifully just redeemed stuff that he had allowed to fail, and I began to wrestle it more. And I just had such a beautiful moment. I'll try to sing it more in tune this evening compared to this morning. Where I embarked on a big endurance event here in the mountains. And before I went out, normally, you know, you would say, Lord, may I not get an injury, and Lord, may I not run out of energy, and, you know, may it go well, wings under the feet, and all these wonderful things. Eagle wings. Hey, that one works, eh? Eagle wings. You know, I went before the Lord Friday evening. And what I said to him, I said, Lord, there's just one thing I desire. And that is that your presence goes before me. And that at every moment I would feel your good pleasure. I feel your good pleasure. Just like Eric Little, that famous guy from Chariots of Fire. I just feel your good pleasure. I want like him. I just want to feel. It's more important to me than anything. I can come last. As long as I felt your good pleasure. It's the most precious thing. And I started out, and the whole way I just had this song this song going over and over like a stuck record. It was just so beautiful, over and over and over and over. And it goes like this. Oh, I'll try singing it right. I'll try. Just don't judge me. There's no shame. It goes, my life is in the cross. There's nothing more I want than just to know his love. My heart is set on Christ, and I will count all else as loss. My life is in the cross. There's nothing more I want than just to know his love. My heart is set on Christ, and I will count all else as loss. Over and over again for 9.5 hours. I did not grow tired of it. Not a moment that I got tired of the song in my head, because that's where my life is. I was like, I'm there. I'm like, yes, my life is in you. It's amazing on this mountain, but my life is in you. And I really trust that tonight we're going to spend some time, just some more time in worship, that you would find your life in the cross. Because when you find your life in the cross, that life is going to begin to flow onto the campus. That life is going to begin to flow out onto the streets of this neighborhood, of the city. That life is going to flow into your family. It's going to flow into your relationships. It's going to flow into your workplace. Because the challenge, I'm going to leave you the same challenge I left this morning, and that's do not fear, only believe what it says in Ezekiel. Chapter 47, verse 8 to 12, speaks of the water coming out of the sanctuary. Sanctuary is Christ. We need to be connected to Christ in the sanctuary. It says, when the water flows from the sanctuary, this is what happens. It says, it flows into the sea, and the water will become fresh. And wherever the river goes, every living creature that swarms will live. And there will be very many fish, for this water goes there, that the waters of the sea may become fresh. So everything will live where the river goes. Fishermen will stand beside the sea from Engedi to Engeneglem. It will be a place for the spreading of nets. Its fish will be of very many kinds. I read that as very many nations, guys. Like the fish of the great sea. Guys, the revival. But its swamps and marshes will not become fresh, but they will be left for salt. Salt is good. And on the banks on both sides of the river, there will grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not wither, nor their fruit fail, but they will bear fresh fruit every month because the water for them flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food. And look at this. Their leaves will be for healing. Matthew, you guys can come up and... So I want to leave this challenge to you, that you begin to pray this for where you are, where you're trusting for life, where you're trusting for freshness, that this life that you see, that it'll begin to flow. Jesus, the living waters will begin to flow and bring that life. But you need to be connected to the sanctuary. If you're not connected, you need to reconnect tonight. You need to reconnect. If you're not connected, okay? If you're broken, if that pipe is broken, that conduit is broken, Jesus tonight wants to come and heal where that brokenness is, that his waters can begin to flow, and where you go, life can come. And if you've never been connected to Christ, then tonight he wants to come and he wants to connect. He wants to establish that connection, okay? Because he wants us to be conduits for his life where we go. He wants what we see here of Jesus. God so desires to see it happening around us, in our families. He wants to see his word come alive in our city and in our nation. But we need to believe it. We need to be connected to the source, Jesus Christ. That's where life is, guys. That's where life is. I just wonder, can we just stand? Mine's going to come up, and I just want to let's just close our eyes, and I just want you to just focus on the cross right now. Just focus on the cross. Nothing else but the cross.